Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to worship you. So we pray the peace could be over in us and over us. So we're not afraid whatever we face for today and the future. For the rest of time, we give the glory to you. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me to share the word, straight from the word. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be with on the people, on your children in this room, so it can hear your voice and apply the scripture for their life. Everything we do for your glory, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Happy New Year. Believe it or not, 2 weeks ago we celebrate the New Year. We count it as a 2020 New Year. In another 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate the Vietnamese New Year. So if in case you're not doing the New Year resolution on January the 1st, you still have one more chance to do the New Year resolution in about 2 weeks. In January 26th, we're going to celebrate the Vietnamese New Year. So for this church, we have two opportunities. Today, I want to review with you, I call it the Prayer 101. Because if in case, you know, some of you, you already go through college. Because every college freshman know that the academic journey begins with the 101 courses. And in each discipline, a 101 class required to provide the basic knowledge. This introductory classes teach the groundwork that is the prerequisite for the higher level of training or learning. Without the foundational understanding of a subject, a student may have a struggle to get hold of the deeper concept or principle taught at the next level of their education. Likewise, you would find out Jesus Christ knew his followers would need a basic framework for prayer. So I call it a Prayer 101. Because when you have the foundation of prayer, you can build the vibrant prayer life on the strong foundation commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. So everything built on that Lord's Prayer. For matter of fact, if you study the Bible, if you can you turn on the PowerPoints? It would help me a lot. If you study the Bible, you would find out Jesus Christ's disciple saw the powerful impacts of the prayers of Jesus' life. They request Jesus the introductory courses on the prayer. If you read in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, Lord, teach us to pray. If you read the New Testament or the first four Gospels, the Jesus Christ disciple didn't come to him and ask to teach just about anything, except only one. They come and say, Lord, teach us to pray. That's the only request if you study the first four books of the Gospel. Why they request the prayer? Because during the time they spend with Jesus Christ, they be able to observe all the wonderful things Jesus Christ did. So they observe on Jesus Christ, you know, his life and his action. And it's so interesting, even though they observe Jesus, you know, perform the miracles, teach with authority, and when he teach, he draw a very huge crowd. But they were most impressed by his prayer life. Therefore, they wanted a class on prayer. So they come and they request Christ. Some of us, perhaps, you know, we're longing for the stronger faith. And perhaps some of us feel like, look like our prayer, or sometimes we pray, but it very much didn't get anywhere. So sometimes we wonder if we are praying the right way. And sometimes we even question, even God listen to our prayer? I don't know. Sometimes it happened to me too. Or sometimes we even ask ourselves, if God even listened to our request, and why we have certain questions like that? Because, you know, that's the question in our mind. As a human being, sometimes we pray, we wait for the answer, but look like we wait for a long time. So certain thoughts, it go across our mind. Simply knowing how to pray can give you the confidence and open our eyes to the choice of talking to God and hearing from Him. So I would like for all of you, it's just like, you know, sit in the classroom and just read through Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, and see or understand what exactly Jesus Christ teach or taught His disciples how to pray. So the Bible said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day, or this day, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtor. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's a very simple lesson Jesus Christ taught His disciples. But let's go verse by verse. Of course, some of you already know all of this. But New Year, I need to refresh, at least rebuild the foundation, starting with the Lord's Prayer. So five things we need to remember in the prayer. The first one, verse 9, reverence our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Because all of us, even me, sometimes if we're not careful, we start our prayer with our laundry list of issues. I don't know about you, but I have things need to be prayed. I have the whole list. And sometimes I forgot to come to Him with reverence. But I provide Him the list. I say, Lord, this is my list. Get it done for me. Of course, God wants to hear our concern. But Jesus Christ taught that the starting point of prayer is the awe of God. We revere God because He is our Father. God is not some distant deity, but instead our personal Father. Additionally, we learn that God has a heavenly, eternal perspective of earthly problems. Jesus Christ, hallowed be your name, conveys to us the holiness of God. This verse is teaching us that the starting blocks of our prayer is the majesty, holiness, and the size of our God, not the size of our problem. Believe it or not, even though we have the long list of issues, the problem, but reality, under the eyes of God, our list is very, very small. So that's reason why when we worship Him, we come to Him at all, how huge, how majesty, how holiness He is. And then suddenly, our problem is not that huge anymore. So to put in the simplest term, our prayer should begin with, wow, it's God. How odd we are with His majesty. Instead, we say, whoa, it's me. It's me. God, it's me, not you. Secondly, we need to release in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So before we come to God with our request, we must first come with proper motive. If we were to listen closely to many of our prayers, it would sound like as if we were attempt to twist the arm of God. Here's God, this is my problem, this is our list. You better listen to me. You better respond because this is my list of issues. So sometimes we feel like we twist the arm of God. In another word, we often try to tell God what to do rather than submit to His sovereign will. Jesus knew that when we letting go would be the problem for his followers. So he exhorted us to cry out to God's will to come to earth and be done just as he planned. So what I'm trying to communicate to you, if we are going to walk in faith, we must pray in faith. It's just like the song, you know, we just sang a couple of minutes ago. If we are going to walk in faith, we must pray in faith. Real faith is when we release everything to God. We don't pray to push our agenda on God, but to surrender to his will. That's so critical, so important to remember when we release that. And the third step in the prayer we request, in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. So after we worship God, let go of our desire, we are then in a place to bring our needs to God. It is a humbling concept, a very humbling concept, that our Almighty God has invited us to come to him with our request. Some of you, as a parent, believe it or not, you know, we feel the pleasure, we feel exciting when the children come to us to request, Father, this is our need. But before the children come to the father, the mother to request, at least we as a parent, we expect the children to say, oh, my parent, my father, my mom have some authority and power. And the children come with the humble request from the parent. And if we understand the concept, we understand how we should come to God with our request. Numerous times, the gospel of Jesus Christ invites us to ask. Jesus teaches us in this model prayer to ask God to provide us our daily needs. Remember, when you read this verse, he stressed on the daily, the word daily. He emphasizes on the word daily. God knows just what exactly you need or my need. He knows that you have the detailed daily requirements to function. He knows that. Some of you go to work every day. He knows what your requirements of what you need when you go to work. You face the world. You face your boss. You face your friend or your associate. And some of you, when you face a challenge in life, physical or mental or spiritual, he knows your daily need. And he provides exactly what you need to help you to go through. So he knows just what you need. He knows that you have the detailed daily requirement to function. He knows that. Because he's Almighty God. Just a provision in life for a young child to deliver through the parent, our faith journeys is at its best when we learn to depend on God every day. I see here some of you have this small child. The child didn't ask, Mom, Dad, give me milk. He said, ah. You don't even understand it. When the child said, wow. He didn't say, Mom, give me milk. He didn't say that. But he just, wow. Oh, hungry. Because why? Because the mom and dad know the need. Son, wow. Another language to me. It's not Vietnamese, it's not English. Just wow. Oh, milk. And sometimes, wow. Oh, need to clean diaper. When they get to son age and the child develops the language, the Vietnamese language or English or French, whatever language, the people can understand. But when you come to God with son prayer, sometimes because emotional, you say, people stand and listen to you, they don't even understand what you're talking about. But God understands your need. When you come as the children of God. So when we learn to depend on Him every day, He understands your need, your prayer, He knows your request, and He would respond properly, correctly, to help, to benefit you. And of course, certain prayer, like the child, He will provide, the parent will provide milk. Sometimes the child not provide rice, fully cooked rice, to feed the child, because it's not the age to accept or to eat rice yet. And sometimes the child may see the parent cry, you know, ask for steak, but there is no teeth to eat steak. And of course, the parent, no, you're too young to eat steak. Not yet. It's still milk. And sometimes, yes, as a human being, we ask for something we cannot even comprehend, and we cannot take it in to help us. It do more damage than good. And God would not answer to that prayer or that request. So we come to Him with reverence. We come to Him to release ourselves as humbling as come to the Father, and then we would request. And whatever request, based on your need, He would provide. But verse 12 about repentance, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The next step in Jesus' lesson on prayer is forgiveness. Talk is easy, but doing it is very difficult, especially the forgiveness. But again, we are instructed to ask God to forgive us our debt. Is it very, very difficult to understand when He tried to ask us to do this? Debts become a weight in our lives that hold us back, believe it or not. It makes us to slave to our debtors. So the only way to experience the victory from the depth of sin is a command to Him, to the one who is able to free us from it. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess is mean to agree. Believe it or not, if you trace the Greek word, confess is mean to agree. So the question this morning is very much, do you agree with God about the sin in your life? He knows. But do you agree with Him on that? Are you regularly bringing your sin to God? So when the person has experienced the forgiveness of sins through the gift of God's grace, then our response is to pass it along to others. Jesus teaches us that we should forgive our debtors because many are in the bondage because they refuse to forgive another person. Forgiving people to forgive others as well. So yes, it is to come to God. God, forgive my sin. But however, do we forgive our brother and sister, the people close to us, or even our neighbor? And that's what He tried to communicate to us. So we come to Him, reverence, release, request, repentance, the sin with God. Ask Him to forgive us. But the response or the application, we also forgive each other, the people who may hurt us. The same lesson, when you say the prayer to God, it can apply for family, for brother, for sister, or even our neighbor, or even for the people at work. And lastly, number 5, realignment. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Some of you, how many of you drive car? Oh, good. Every one of you, except maybe one or two, have no car yet. If your car ever lost the front end alignment, what happened when you drive the car? What happened? You try to go straight, but the car keep veer to the right, and if the front left, it veer to the left. It's very, very difficult to keep the car, you know, when you try to drive straight. So the same thing in your life. If something is off, you have a problem to control. If somehow God prepared the life straight life when you drive the car, and somehow it keeps veer to the right or veer to the left. It, of course, it's become a struggle to keep it between the lines. So we live daily with an enemy that desires to move us off course. And of course, the Bible, we talk about evil, Satan, all of that. So that fog is trying to keep us go straight path, but veer off course. So Jesus Christ reminds us to come down to God's power to lead us into the right direction and keep us away from evil. Some of you go through life, you understand what exactly I'm talking about. Sometimes certain things that happen, it keep us off course. If you're in school, tomorrow the test, some temptation pull us, you know, instead of you study for the final, and certain folks pull us to go party until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and the next day, when you have the test, you fall asleep during the test, and then you complain, God, where are you? Why don't you help us to pass this test? But the force is already, certain evil force already put you off course during your study. And it happened a lot. Same thing for husband and wife. Family, it's also happened. And it happened a lot. Because certain evil thing, when we go through life, it pulls us away, of course, of marriage, brother, sister, family, work, just about anything can happen. So that reason why he said we count out God's power to lead us in the right direction and keep us away from evil. Of course, you have to remember, God never leads us into sin. Never. But it would be against what Bible clearly teaches. Because if God not lead us into sin, and why do we pray, do not lead us into temptation? Because sometimes we just read first verse and then we forgot the next one, deliver us from the evil. But it is imperative that Christians acknowledge the battle of temptation and take precaution through prayer. I don't know about your faith. Because some of us, we say, yeah, I'm strong faith, I can go through life and have Christ, all of that. But Christ teaches the precaution we need to pray. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. That's the precaution prayer. Because God, the Holy Spirit, when you have Christ, the Holy Spirit will help us so we can recognize something is not right. Break away. Don't get into it. And that the constant remind about this prayer, the precaution. So I pray the Lord that every day when we pray to God, we go through this model, it's help us, it's reminding us certain temptation would happen, even though we may say we're strong in faith. But the fox would pull slowly, eventually we fall into the trap, but we didn't know about. So that conclusion, you would find out Jesus, he closed the prayer lesson with a declaration, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the prayer, we start with the, you know, glory, our awe, the reverence, the power, the glory of God. And the prayer at the end, we also, the same way when we start the prayer, praising God. So regardless how the prayer is answered, the mature believers know that the foundation of the prayer is the greatest greatness of God and surrender to His kingdom. So between the New Year, 2020 and the Vietnamese New Year, they just follow the prayer 101 for your prayer life. So let's review real quick. I know some of you, you may study from another book about ACTS, four steps. But for the study of the Bible this morning, you know, 5 R. What is the first one? Reverence. Okay. Number 3, request. Repentance. Okay, good. Realignment. So you're on past prayer 101 class. Let's pray real quick. Let's understand now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much. Between the two new years, we review prayer 101. Exactly what Jesus Christ taught his disciple. So we pray we would apply his lesson for our disciple, but for our life. So we can be the successful Christian when we face this world. And so we can bring the gospel of you to other people. Everything we do for your glory, Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.